Hello, here is your KVNF regional newscast for Tuesday, October 22nd. There's news out of Paonia here on Tuesday. According to the Grand Junction Daily Sentinel, a nonprofit research institute that focused on toxic chemicals, including those used in oil and gas development and had its roots in Paonia, is winding down operations in preparation for a November 30th closing. TEDx, or the Endocrine Disruption Exchange, is shutting down due to a shortfall in funding. It was founded by the late scientist Theo Kolbrun, who earned international acclaim for her groundbreaking research into the impacts of hormone-interfering chemicals on humans and wildlife. She co-authored a 1996 book on the subject, Our Stolen Future. After moving to Paonia in 2002, she began identifying and looking into the health effects of chemicals being used in oil and gas development, and particularly hydraulic fracturing, or fracking. Kolbrun passed away nearly 5 years ago, at the age of 87, but the research entity she founded around 16 years ago lived on. Carol Kwiatkowski, TEDx's executive director since 2008, said TEDx closed its Paonia office about 3 years ago and became a virtual-based organization, with staff having moved to other states or shifted into work-from-home situations. She said it had 6 full and part-time staff as of about a year ago when it started to downsize. Kwiatkowski told the Daily Sentinel that the organization's closing was precipitated by the fact that 3 major donors all happened to change course and fund in different areas after this year. All at once, TEDx lost 70% of its funding. And this is from the Colorado News Connection. Many Colorado voters have already received their November 5th election ballots, and supporters of Proposition CC are hoping to clear up some confusion. Eric Galatis has more.
Bob Brocker with the group Colorado Senior Lobby says some concerns have been raised about how the proposition might impact a constitutional amendment meant to reduce property tax burdens for seniors. Brocker explains Prop CC is simply asking voters' permission to earmark any excess revenues collected under Tabor for investments in education and transportation.
It's really important for people to understand that Proposition CC does not change in any way the senior property tax exemption. If you get out the blue book and read it, there's nothing in there about the senior property tax exemption.
In 2000, Colorado voters passed a constitutional amendment to give qualifying homeowners age 65 and older a break on their property taxes. Brocker believes the current confusion stems from a decision the legislature made in 2017 to put these tax breaks at the front of the line during years where taxpayers got Tabor refunds. Some opponents of Prop CC worry ending Tabor refunds could lead to the expansion of state government. Brocker points out even though no Tabor refunds have been issued since 2017, the senior property tax exemption has remained intact and fully funded. Brocker says all Prop CC would do is take funding of the senior property tax exemption back to the way things were before 2017.
It's really important to note that the senior property tax exemption was paid most of the years, actually, prior to 2017 when that law was passed.
Brocker says voters can rest assured that a vote for Proposition CC is not a vote against their property tax exemption, and in fact, he says there is nothing on the November ballot that would repeal the homestead exemption. This is Eric Galatis reporting for the Colorado News Connection.
A Utah law has opened the door for vehicles like ATVs and UTVs to travel on roads within the state's national parks. Local elected officials near Arches and Canyonlands National Parks opposed this policy and are now calling for an environmental study. From the Rocky Mountain Community Radio Exchange, KZMU's Molly Marcello has more.
All 3 governing bodies of the Moab area have united in opposition to allowing vehicles like ATVs and UTVs in Utah's national parks. The bodies met in a historic joint meeting to pass an emergency resolution, which they will now send to the National Park Service. After its passage, the community members filling the legislative chamber erupted in applause.
I think people were just so tired of seeing what's happening in our community based on things that we had no control over, like the state law.
Joette Langanese, executive director of the Friends of Arches and Canyonlands Parks, a nonprofit with the Park Service's Southeast Utah group. That state law she mentioned, enacted in 2008, it opened the door for street-legal ATVs and UTVs to travel on Utah's public highways and roads. Over a decade later, that change remains controversial in a town like Moab, which sees a lot of motorized tourism and its subsequent noise on neighborhood streets and roads.
You know, this was the straw that broke the camel's back, and everybody said, enough. You're not going to do that to our parks. We're not going to let you do this to our parks.
For over a decade, Utah's national park superintendents maintained bans on the vehicles within the parks. But things changed in late September, when the Park Service's acting Intermountain Regional Director told state superintendents to align their road access policies with Utah law by November 1. Some in the ATV and UTV communities call this a, quote, discrimination issue, arguing that Utah's national parks currently allow Jeeps, four-wheel drive pickups, and dirt bikes on park roads. Kent Green of Moab Cowboy Off-Road Adventures spoke during Tuesday's joint meeting.
Just don't support what you're doing here. I think that you're not speaking for all Moab residents, only a few. Obviously, our parks are national treasures, and I love them just as much as everybody else does. But there is a discrimination issue, so that's something you're going to have to fight uphill all the way.
Many in the Moab community have called for greater environmental study before opening the doors to the vehicles. The National Park Service's own management policies require superintendents prohibit any new vehicle uses until they determine no adverse impacts to park resources and visitor experiences, including things like noise and soundscapes.
We are working through a process that we want to be able to share soon. I don't have more information for you at this time. Ultimately, we want to have a process in place that upholds us to the laws and regulations that we're bound by.
Vanessa Lacayo, a NPS spokesperson from the Denver Regional Office.
And so I think this component of public engagement is important, and it helps us and guides the direction that we're going to take. And so I think it's a good thing that we are receiving public comment and getting a broader scope of some of the issues, I think, that are concerning to the local folks.
In their joint resolution, Moab City, Grand County, and the town of Castle Valley state that they oppose allowing the vehicles in the parks without an environmental study and public comment process. Reporting from Moab, Utah, I'm Molly Marcello.
And that was your KVNF regional newscast for Tuesday, October 22nd. For KVNF News, I'm Eric Gould. Thanks so much for listening.